All right, tonight we're looking at the seventh seal. Now remember, only Christ, only the Lamb was worthy to start opening these seals. We've already been through six of them. Tonight we're going to open the seventh seal, and the seventh seal is going to reveal the seven trumpets. Now, first of all, as we're looking at it, we need to remember that as we look at the seventh seal and the first four trumpets, I'm not going to deal with the seven trumpets, we're going to deal with the first four. I think I have it in here somewhere, but what you will find out is the first four trumpets are the plagues that God is giving against earth, against nature itself. The final three trumpets is the judgment against humanity. Now, as we're studying this, you're going to find out something. You're going to be, and I want you thinking on this line. Remember when Christ returned, the second coming, and it says, as you saw him go, you shall see him return. As he went and ascended into heaven, he will come back, and where he's going to come back, and everyone will see him. You're going to learn something during this time that you may not have thought of. Many people say, well, you know, all the people that are in the world, they're going to see him right there out in Israel. They're going to see Christ come down through there. And then, of course, we've got in our mind, yep, TV. You know, we're going to, no. You've got to remember, as you go through these trumpets, you're going to see a third of everything being destroyed. You're going to see humanity destroyed, brought down to what we will be calling our 144,000 during that time of the Jewish people that are going to be left to have an opportunity for that salvation. Well, we will get into that. But I just want to give you tonight the seven seals and the first four trumpets. Here's something that will have never happened until this happens in Revelation. The seventh seal, when the seventh seal is open, there is silence in heaven. Never before, nowhere will you read, is there silence in heaven. As a matter of fact, before Revelation 8 verse 1, there were multitudes that no one can count singing to God. Angels around the throne singing to God. There was an incredible roar and praise, all praising God. Now the seventh seal is opened and there is silence. Let's look at Revelation 8 verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, isn't that interesting? John, the Revelator, is saying, as a matter of fact, there was silence in heaven for close to a half hour. And actually, that's the 30 minutes that you know of right now. That's the half hour that you're used to right now. There's silence. Why would there be silence? Well, let's think a little bit and get a little bit into the spiritual realm here. When you are getting ready to pronounce judgment, Christ has opened the seal. Seven trumpets are going to be blown. We know the judgment is coming. And in the process of this judgment coming, there is silence. Many would say, well, that's because they're so awestruck about what's getting ready to happen. They don't know what's getting ready to happen. Hadn't happened yet. But they know the seventh seal that is open. They know that when the Lamb opens it, well, let's look at it this way. The awe of the idea of what this is going to bring. This is the last seal. And all heaven has just witnessed the first six seals being opened. Now, there is silence. What's coming? Not in the horribleness, or maybe it could be their anticipation of how bad is this going to be. Whatever the reason, this is in heaven, folks. This is silence in heaven. All of the whole heavenly realm. We happen to be there at this time. We happen to be there. Therefore, we're silent. There is something that is going to be so amazing that's getting ready to take place. And so awesome. You can't be afraid in heaven. You can't have fear. I can't have fear. But we can certainly be silent in the presence of the ultimate power of God getting ready to be revealed, not only on earth, but throughout all that exists. Everything is going to kneel. Everything is getting ready to see and witness the awesomeness of the power of Almighty God's judgment. And we're silent. First of all, number one, on page one, the angel at the altar of prayer. Now, the revelation of this, of the silence in heaven, and now we're going to the altar of prayer, which is the Revelation 8, 2 through 5. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Now one of the angels, and the only one that we know of, is that we do know, which you'll find in Luke 1 verse 19. I've got it printed out for you there. One of the angels we do know. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. Where does he say he stands? Who stands in the presence of God. So these are, then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So Gabriel's one of them. We always know Gabriel's tooting his horn, right? We always know that Gabriel's got the trumpet, too. He was always the herald. He was always the one that was going to sound the trumpet. Who stands in the presence, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Now, the same angel, him and six other special angels that stand in the presence of God, are getting ready now to sound the trumpets of the bad news that is getting ready to take place on earth. What has happened? God's judgment is coming, and the time for his judgment is then, or it is now. It is in this process. And God's judgment is getting ready to be poured out, first of all, upon the earth. Now, I don't know whether you all have ever really thought about this a lot. I have, because it drives me crazy when I try to think too much on it. But what in the world did the earth do that would deserve such a judgment placed upon it? God, out of Adam and Eve in the garden, out of the original sin, the curse God placed in Genesis was on the earth. It was on the ground. There was a curse placed on earth. And I keep thinking, Brother Randy, it's an inanimate object. And God curses dirt. And I'm thinking, you know, dirt pretty much, I picture cursed already because it's dirt. And, you know, and there it is, and it's cursed. And so God puts a curse on the planet and all the innate objects that exist. Were they always that way? Inanimate, I'm sorry, I didn't mean innate. Inanimate, thank you. That was an archaic slip. Inanimate objects. Wonder what went on. That's sort of like I'm thinking about the snake or the serpent. Well, for one thing, a serpent is not going to tempt me. I mean, I'm not going to get close enough to it to tempt me, right? So must have been a good looker for her to allow that the serpent to tempt her. Or whatever the animal was, whatever the creature was. And I know the curse made it crawl on its belly. Maybe that's when it became the snake. It was looking good till it started crawling on its belly. The visions I get sometimes when I'm teaching. But you think about that. Why? What was that? What was going on with earth? Anyway, the curse was placed upon the earth. Look at verse 3. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Incense, prayers of the saints. Again, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Keep reading. If you want to know what the, which altar it is, keep reading. That's the altar where much incense, which is of the prayers of the saints on the golden altar. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, you're going to find out what that was and what it resembles, what it looks back to. Go back to Moses. There's nothing in Scripture that you will find in Revelation that you will not see in the Old Testament. You will always see, looking back as you study in the Old Testament, you will see what is getting ready to happen in the book of Revelation or in the New. There is not a break in the story. When God tells a story of existence, the story runs true from Genesis through Revelation. What's our problem? We don't read. We don't study. And if we read and study, we will find out that God will open the windows of heaven of letting us know what is to come. Thus you have the book of Revelation. What does the word revelation mean? To unveil. It's to show you what's going to happen, not to cover it up. There's nothing scary about Revelation as far as spooky. You know what's coming. We're studying it right now. Go to page 2. The golden altar of incense was just outside of the Holy of Holies. Now, many who haven't studied this won't understand that in the temple, there was a place behind the curtain. And that place behind the curtain was called the Holy of Holies. The priest, one particular priest, was picked annually to go back and to make offering to God for the sins of Israel, of the Hebrew nation. You got it? So they would go back. Now, it was so bad that in order for them to go back there, if they died back there, no other priest was allowed to go back. I mean, when you went back there, then and if you died, you were stuck. So what did they do? They tied a rope around they're going to pull them back out if they died after a certain period of time. They would drag them back through because they were not going to go through to the Holy of Holies, which meant that was that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, to go back there in the presence of God. Now, picture again. Now you get to the story of the New Testament. The veil of the temple, that curtain that was there, God tore it in two because of who Jesus was. Jesus is the one who becomes that veil for us. Then the curtain is destroyed. Christ has come in. Therefore, no longer was somebody else offering for me because the ultimate offer was given, which is Christ himself. And so therefore, we then, from that point, were allowed to come into the presence of God through Christ. But prior to that, if they died in there, they'd drag them back out. And because, see, they could die of a heart attack. You hadn't in the presence of God in the human body. It wasn't the idea of even seeing God, but just being in His presence. The body could not handle that. So the golden altar of incense belonged in God's presence. So outside the Holy of Holies, where the altar of incense was, the priest would carry it back with him. Got it? You getting the picture? Okay. Right outside the altar. Now, look into heaven. You are seeing this altar is in the original presence of God. Right outside the door, in the original presence of God. And we are seeing that those prayers are brought directly to God. I know this gets deep, folks, but and I get excited about teaching it. But it's the idea of how we can now come directly into the presence of God without dying. I like that. And here we are now. We, the church, we're up there with Christ at this point. We're in heaven. We're looking down. This is our view looking down on it. Our prayers go before God and are taken to this same altar of incense. Right now, when you pray, your prayers are taken in the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. We learned in my class this morning about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triunity of God. And He takes our prayers into the presence of God. And God hears our prayer. Not only that, God answers our prayers. I don't pray a prayer that God doesn't answer. Now, I may not understand the answer. I may not like the answer, the way He answers my prayer. And it may not look anything like, the answer may not look anything like the answer I expected to get. But God says, what I will do for you when you call on my name is I will bless you. What I ask for may not be a blessing to me. And so God is not going to give or put anything on me that is going to take away from who I am or that will hurt me. He will not do that. So therefore, He'll answer that prayer only in a way that's going to help me. The coals for the altar of incense, came from the altar of sacrifice. You can't use any other fire. Okay. The coals from the altar of sacrifice. That's Jesus. Jesus sacrificed Himself. The blood of the Lamb. There's no other blood. There's no other way. You cannot take the coal from any other way. You cannot offer to God any blood other than that of His Son. We got it? It has to be Christ and Christ alone. The altar of incense represents our prayers in God's presence. You got it? The altar of sacrifice represents Jesus. Now, the coals from the altar of sacrifice had to be used to light the coals on the altar of incense. What happened if they didn't? Well, look in Leviticus 16, verse 12. He is to take a censer full of burning coals. Leviticus is in the Old Testament. From the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. That's what the priest does. Got it? But he's to take it from the right censer. All of this was pointing to Christ to come. The ultimate sacrifice is coming. There can be no other. Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. Aaron's son, Aaron was the high priest. He was a brother to Moses. Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered, look at this, unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. Are you catching what's getting ready to happen? It's like if you do offer any other blood other than Christ. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Bam, they got zapped big time. Why? Well, they saw a shortcut. Had another way to do this. Lord, I don't see why I need to go through this way when that way is shorter. There's only one way. And that's what God has taught since the beginning of time. There's one way. Jesus is coming. You and I look and we said, Jesus came. But Jesus is coming again. So we're looking to that second coming of Christ. But we need to understand the importance of there's one way. And you try a different way than that, you will be consumed in the presence of the Lord. Bitter than a doornail. I wonder where that came from. The doornail's dead. Never did have anything going for me. I mean, just an old piece of steel that's driven right there. Okay. First of all, let's look at this. There are three different types of tribulation. Now, what I've shown you, what I went over here, this is what happened. Give you some background on that seventh seal. We'll get into trumpet here in a second. Ready? The trials of everyday life. It's a type of tribulation. You're in them. You're in it right now. Many are killed today for their faith in Christ. Many are persecuted in the workplace for their faith. Faye, I wish you had that pulled up on your phone, the story of the North Koreans with their Bible. That would have been neat. About how excited they were, and they got out and they'd get out into the river right in the middle before they'd pulled their Bibles out to get to study. And they get excited that they even had the Word of God. This is in North Korea, to be able to study. And was it a missionary that took them over there? Anyway, he gathered up. He gave them all brand new Bibles in Korean. And he took the old ones, and their old Bibles had been torn, and many of them had been wet and soaked and had to dry out again. He took them back to his hotel, where he was, to the motel. And then they disappeared on him. And he found out that the janitor, the North Korean janitor of that motel, had saw them and took them, and that his family cried because they really was able now to see the Word of God in their language, and how awesome that all of that was. It's quite the story of how people really do appreciate. And I think about us in America. We have every translation you can possibly think of, Bibles everywhere, and do we read them? Okay. The second type of tribulation is the Great Tribulation. This is when the wheels come off worldwide. Now, what's the difference when we say we have famines? We've seen famines. We've seen all these earthquakes and all this. No, not like the big one you're going to see. Not like the tribulation period, the ultimate great tribulation. It's worldwide. What you see now is spotty. The different places where you will see such tragedy is spotty. But during the Great Tribulation, it's worldwide, universal. And then the third type of tribulation is the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord is the end. When God comes and the books are closed and things are finished. When Jesus comes as the King and as the ruler. Now, that's the second coming of Christ. Remind you, as I've taught you, the rapture of the church, us, we're up here looking down on this now, right? Okay, at this point, It's the coming of the Lord. We're coming back with Him. Will there be saved people on earth? Yes. Yes. It's interesting where they're going to be hiding. I find that really, really interesting. I'll give you a heads up on it so you can be studying on it. You know, the ones that are alive, God's chosen on earth. Remember, He's already told the angels, stop them. Do not, until I put my mark on my children, I don't want any of the trumpet being blown or anything else. I want my children protected. So where in the world would He send them? Into the wilderness. All we have heard, taught and preached and all, come out of the wilderness. And then at this point is when God says, go to the wilderness, for there I will protect you. God has conquered the wilderness of life and all. And He said, you go there. These other people that are living in the big cities and all, Rachel crying out for her children, the ones that are on the rooftop, let them not go back for their clothes, escape, get out of the way. Okay. Now let's look at the seven trumpets. I got you loaded for this. These judgments remind us of the 10 plagues on Egypt, Exodus 7 through Exodus 12. The seven trumpets are divided into four and three. The first four bring devastation to nature. The last three are aimed more directly at man. First trumpet. When the first trumpet is sounded, it represents the destruction of a third of the earth. Revelation 8, verses 6 and 7. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. Now, let me tell you about this hail. This takes a cursory study on this to know this. But the hailstones that are coming, some of the lightest ones are 100 pounds. Oh my goodness. These are hailstones that can be as heavy as 1,000 pound hailstones. That's a big... That's a lot of hail raining down from heaven, isn't it? Huh? Okay. So, we're getting serious now. This is the coming of the Lord. This is the trumpet in preparation, and hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth would burn up. A third of the trees would burn up, and all green grass would burn up. Now, in comparison, I've got that fixed for you there. With Exodus 9, 23 through 25. This is when Moses stretched out his staff. This is the 10 plagues upon Egypt. God's given us a view. Look at the 10 plagues on Egypt. And I want you to see the ultimate of those plagues. I mean, to the highest degree that it can be God. The plagues on Egypt were nothing compared to what's happening here. When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. That's what the plagues against Egypt then. What's coming has never been seen. What Revelation is talking about, this time hail comes. It wasn't this kind of hail that was coming on Egypt. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields. Listen to it. Both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. Exodus 9:26. The only place it did not hail was in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Now remember last week I told you that God had his children over here protected in the land of Goshen. That was the land that was given to the Israeli, Joseph's deal with his story. Okay? So here God then rains down hell, but he says, wait a minute. My people will be protected. All the insects, the flying insects and the frogs and all that came, it was just like God had set up an invisible film. Not even an insect could get through. They would go to the border of the land of Goshen, and all the evil would stop. That's the promise of those who will be washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Christian nation that is to come. The term Christian had never been heard of and never been coined.
So all this that's happened now, is it, this was from the after the 30 minutes of silence in heaven and the yes. incense that was filled with burning yes. coals was cast to earth.
Yes.
And that's the result.
Yes. Now here's what's coming on. What you saw was when the seventh seal was open, then the silence. You got that? And then during that silent period, that's when the angels come out with the seven trumpets. Now we're getting into the seven trumpets are getting ready to be blown. That's going to bring it out. And heaven, you can picture now the idea of the when something is this magnificent that all that exists in heaven is silent. It's just, well, we cannot fathom that in our mind. Our human minds cannot foresee anything as horrible as it's getting ready to happen. And yet, with all the horrible situation that's getting ready to take place, God protects his remnant. The humans that are in existence that have accepted him. We, the church age, we're gone. But the new, what we would call Christians, the new believers, the ones that are born, you know, in the tribulation period during this time, then God is gathering them and they're going to be protected. We're getting to witness from heaven what took place in the Old Testament through Moses and you know, through Egyptian plagues and all. We're getting to see the whole story. You know, I would be silent in the process of seeing. Picture the story of your individual life here. God's showing you how many times that he'd been active in your life. The older I get, the more times I can look back on my life now and see where God was active in situations and things that went on in my life. And how many times he pulled me out of my own messes. Yes.
That 30 minutes of silence in heaven, I mean, and you know, and you said that it was because things that were about to happen was going to be so horrible that we're speechless, you know. There's no noise.
Yeah, or not realizing what's getting ready to happen to the point of when silence falls, then, I mean, all of creation is silent. It's in heaven.
You know, when I had first started studying this, I was under... Of course, I know the human mind has
yes.
errors, but I thought the 30 minutes of silence was that God was waiting to see if anyone else would repent.
Now you got to remember, here's the thing: when you're looking like that, which is it's correct, you know, only God does know, but God already knows. God knows right now when the last person that's going to be saved is going to be saved. He already knows that. And this time period I'm in here now hadn't even started yet, okay? But God knows, and he's showing us a picture of it. Now, the only place it did not hail was in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Now, look down to Revelation 7:3. which is right under it. I got it for you. On the four angels. Here's what he says in verse 3. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who was there at the birth of Christ? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who was there at creation of time? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. This is the angel talking. So we're going to put the seal on the foreheads. The angels are, but who gives them the seal? God the Father. This comes directly from the triunity of God. Okay? The seals are going to be placed. He says, so don't you dare toot that horn until they are protected. That seal must be there. So you've got the same thing said in Exodus 9:26 that is said in Revelation 7:3. My children must be protected. At no point will God ever leave his children unprotected. So the judgments are not against you or me or God's children. They're protected through it. It's against those who continually to reject such great love. The second trumpet. This is destruction of a third of the sea. Revelation 8:8-9. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. Didn't say it turned red like blood. Didn't say that. It didn't say, you know, it was sort of a bloodyish looking color. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Man, that's a lot of death and destruction. Wonder where the water went. Where a third of the sea would go. Only God knows. But wonder what that is. It looked like a mountain is thrown into the sea. Things seem like I remember them getting saying to that mountain, be cast, and it will be cast into the sea, or it'll be moved. This is God speaking. Anything can happen. But the key for you again is to remember, nothing can touch the hair of the head of any of the children of God, whether they're on earth or anywhere else. You got it? Okay. Okay, compare the third of a living creature. Compare this to Joel 2, verse 30. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. There has always been the prophecy, the warning for us from the beginning of time. So pay attention. Now you can look back and say, oh, I see that now. God said, I want you to see all of this in advance. And I want you to get excited about something, he says. You can't be messed with. It can't touch you. But what is happening must come to pass. Now, why? Because God says so. Now, I don't know what took place before time began. But time, before time as we know time began, God was. I don't know what took place. I don't have any idea of the power or the inanimate objects, or whether they talked, or they were at one time animated, or what it was. I don't know any of that. But I got an eternity to learn a lot. Huh? Third trumpet. A third of the destruction of a third of fresh water. Revelation 8:10-11. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Now listen. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. It had poisoned the water, the spring water and all. All the fresh water had been poisoned. Wormwood here is not the name of the star. Wormwood happens to be a bitterness taste and all that. What is you're getting ready to see happen is going to come down, and it's going to, this star as it falls is going to bring, destroy the water, the fresh water, and everything is going to be made bitter like wormwood is bitter. Okay? So many people say, I'm waiting for the wormwood star, or the star named Wormwood. No. The name of its destructive power is wormwood. It's bitter. Remember the bitter herbs and spices, or the bitter herbs that were taken at the Passover? Remember that? To remind you that that day that death passed over, final plague of Egypt, remember that when the death angel saw the blood on the doorpost, he passed over. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Exodus 7:19. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff, stretch it out, hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and the canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt. Now listen, even in the wooden buckets and the stone jars. Why, how'd they get it there? This is God's judgment. As it was on Egypt, so shall it be in the end of the age. The fourth trumpet now is the destruction of a third of the heavenly elements. Now, you getting ready here? Are you getting the picture? See, here we are on the fourth trumpet, and we're getting a third of everything just knocked completely out of whack. So people say, well, you know, there's a lot of people in the world. Where they're going to be? They're not going to be a lot of people anywhere in a third of all of it. Even a third of the elements in the heavens. Revelation 8:12, the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck. Third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So that the third of them turned dark. That's going to be cold. A third of the day was without light. And also a third of the night. Look at getting back to when chaos existed before God created. And he took from total darkness, he separates it. Now notice the closing of the book. The chapter of life itself, of our existence. We need to understand the difference between prophetic revelation, prophetic interpretation, prophetic speculation. Okay. We need to understand the difference. Prophetic revelation is this. God had revealed himself very clearly. We know that's exactly what he's going to do. There is no doubt about it. Jesus is coming again. Judgment Day. So prophetic revelation, I believe. Definitely. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, I believe all three of these. And as a believer, I can believe all three of these. Prophetic interpretation. Where there may be two or three ideas that Christians have had over the last 2,000 years as they've studied a particular passage. It's a time period of Judgment Day. Could that take place? Yep. Good. The prophetic speculation. Now we got a lot of that going on. You notice what I put in there at the bottom, Paula? Did you notice that last in parentheses down there for you? I think it could mean this, based on what I see and or some headlines I read today or the Left Behind series. I think this is possible. Could it be? Yes, I believe that. I believe all three of those differences. Now, can it be? Yes, it can be. What will it be? I don't have any idea, but I can promise you this. I've read the book enough and studied his promises enough to know this. I don't have to sweat it. And I'm so excited about not having to sweat it. That's the reason that I want to teach the gospel and preach the gospel, that everyone who does not know Christ as Lord and Savior will come to a saving grace knowledge of who Jesus is. And in doing so, they don't have to sweat it either. Because I know that what God says is true. And when he says it's going to happen, count on it. Matter of fact, count it as though it's already happened.